This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
Welcome. Welcome to Biblical Response. And particularly today, we have a little challenge, those of you that are hearing me because you're on the internet. But if you're turning on your car radio, your home radio, or whatever radio you have, you're not getting this broadcast right now because we're off the tower. That's just the light.
It just happened minutes before we were supposed to go live.
Just minutes before we were supposed to go live.
Please pray, listeners. Please pray.
So if you're listening, and please be prayerful that... You know, the Lord is going to restore us on the air. We have a topic today that is critical for many people to hear. So at least that's our opinion, and we're going to live with that. But anyway, before we go into the depth of the commentary, I must introduce my co-host, delightfully so, Ann Limhoko. Good morning.
Good morning. It's such a blessing to be here.
Oh, man. Amen. It sure is.
It's such a blessing to be here and to speak truth over the airwaves. Amen. You know what I mean? No matter how hard the topic may be, but if we don't speak truth to whatever's happening in our culture, then we're loving them to hell. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. We are ignoring the opportunities that God wants us to take. Mm-hmm. And it's not a truth, right? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life."
Yes.
And we represent him. This is his truth. It's not ours.
Yes.
And why we seek to do that, we pray, we're seek to be faithful, and we have God's grace to do that. So
Amen.
We're gathered here today in a very cold studio to keep the equipment safe. We have to shiver a little bit. And Keith Masters, speaking, I'm looking at you because you have that posture of trying to stay warm.
Yeah, and I've got my sweatshirt on right behind me. I should just put it on.
Hey, why not? Go for it.
But David, last week we welcomed the girls from the front desk in Barwish Therapy, and I just wanted to welcome some new guests today. I wanted to welcome Gabby, a friend of ours. Mm-hmm. And I hope she's listening. And we wanted to say hello. And last week, we also welcomed Terry and Leslie. And they were listening. So, yeah,
oh,
we welcome
them. Amen. How cool is that?
Yeah, Thank you for listening.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
And I wanted to welcome, I think David is listening. He's up in Ohio, who's a brother in the Lord, and who we talk to a lot. So hopefully they're all listening, and welcome to the program, and thanks for listening. So we are having some enemy attack today. We're good? Okay.
But we're good? No, we're good.
Yeah, we're good. Someone's going to be listening, you know.
Okay.
Sherry just came in to encourage us to record the program, which we're already doing.
Right.
And the program is also automatically being recorded into On Demand because that doesn't require broadcast from the tower. That's being done from here into our online system. So we're going to rebroadcast this program sometime this afternoon. When the manager comes back, we'll figure that one out. So anyway, Ann is going to introduce the topic for today.
Yeah.
And also tell us who we're going to be talking to on the phone in about 10 minutes.
You know what? My spirit is so wants to just overcome what's happening right now that the enemy is trying to prevent who the Lord wants to listen to this program, because it's a very hard topic. I went to bed just interceding. But we are going to be talking about progressive Christianity. And I don't know if people know what progressive Christianity is. It's kind of a misnomer, because to me, it's not really Christianity at all. It follows the tenets of the world and not the Bible. But James Tallarico is a Democratic member of the Texas House of Representatives. Okay, he represents District 50, and he was elected in 2018. And James Tallarico was on Joe Rogan's podcast on the 18th of July. And if people who listen know Joe Rogan, he's a very popular podcaster. We're talking about with over 2,000 episodes that he's already mm-hmm. done. It's a very popular podcast, and the podcast lasts about 2 to 3 hours each. So James Tallarico had the ears of a lot of listeners for about 2 hours and 36 minutes.
I think that Joe Rogan is the number one podcaster, right? Is he number one or number two?
It depends where you look.
He's got a couple of million listeners behind him.
Oh, yeah, yes. For sure.
And I think,
well known.
It's ranked as one of the most popular on Spotify. And so
it definitely helped President Trump when he got elected. His son actually suggested that President Trump go on Joe Rogan. So that's how many people are listening.
Oh, Barron recommended that.
Right, he did. Right.
But James Tallarico was on this podcast, and this was just like two Fridays ago. And he's a progressive Christian. He calls himself a progressive Christian. And he's 36 years old. But what he talked about on the air as far as issues of faith and issues that he says are from the Bible is completely heretical. And I listened to a podcast this week from Ali Stuckey, who's a Christian conservative podcaster, and she was refuting what he had to say. And I just felt in my spirit that we need to talk about this, because there are a lot of people who identify like James Tallarico who are progressive Christians and don't know that basically they're deceived and they're lost. And we're coming on here not to spit vitriol, not to be negative, right? But to speak truth. And the reason why we speak truth is because we love these folks, right?
Yes.
And
amen.
we want to let our listeners hear the truth. And what we're going to do is rely heavily on Scripture, which is the absolute truth. That is the only truth. Jesus is amen. The truth, the only way, the truth, and the life. And that's what we're going to talk about. But we have the honor of welcoming a Texas state representative who serves alongside James Tallarico. His name is Nate Schatzlein, and he's going to be joining us in about, 8 minutes. And Representative Schatzlein represents, he was elected in January 10 of 2023, and he's in his current term right now, and he represents Texas House of Representatives District 93. He's a state representative from Texas, and he's also a pastor. So he's going to be coming on, and we're going to just hear his thoughts of what he sees on the House floor at the Texas State Representatives and, you know, the different things he hears.
We should also make a distinction that from what we've read about both, Representative Schatzlein is a pastor. He's also a born-again Christian.
He is.
Whereas Representative Tallarico, self-proclaimed progressive Christian, but there's no born-again theology that is being presented through his ministry.
Testimony.
Yeah, his positions are not a born-again Christian position.
Yeah, and you shared with me yesterday in the meet call about what the Lord told him to do before he got elected to office.
Before he got elected, Nate. Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Oh, I thought you were talking about Tallarico. You're talking about Representative Schatzlein.
Right.
Yeah, and I pray that we can have enough time, because it's going to be a quick 10 minutes, and I'm grateful that he's able to fit us in his very busy schedule. But he was the Lord gave him a dream to run for office.
Right.
Okay. And in his campaign, one of the polls came out and he was not leading. He was like actually I think the last place. And the Lord told him, he gave him a strategy. And these are the strategies we need to get from Holy Spirit.
I just want to interrupt you, because in a few minutes we're going to be having Representative Schatzlein on to talk about the issue. But let's tell our listeners the essential issue that we're concerned about that was being debated in the Texas House.
Well, okay. So basically right now it was debated in the Texas House, but it's now become a law that you can place they want the Ten Commandments displayed in all public classrooms in public schools. Okay, that's part of Texas law. And the reason why Representative Tallarico is so popular right now is because as a progressive Christian, he was calling against putting the Ten Commandments in the classroom.
Right.
And one of the things he said is he was concerned for the Muslim kid and the Jewish kid. I'm reading a quote that he gave on the podcast. I think my concern is for the Muslim kid and the Jewish kid, the Hindu kid, the atheist kid who's sitting in a classroom who now has a poster on the wall, the Ten Commandments, forced by the government that says your religion is inferior or you're not welcome here. So he made headlines. He was on TikTok. He was on Instagram. He was all over Facebook calling against not putting the Ten Commandments because he was worried that these other faith, I don't know what to call them, faith religions would be inferior.
Other religions, yeah.
But there's only one way to God. There's only one true religion.
This is what
one
we get
true
back
faith.
To.
Yeah.
Right. And, so, and the progressive Christian would love for there to be several ways.
He argued it was unchristian and basically it could lead to a new generation of atheists who perceive religion as primarily about power instead of love. So he was on the Texas House floor calling against that bill. I mean, it was just some of the I listened to him for about 2.5 hours on the Joe Rogan podcast, and I just wrote down a lot of what he said. And I'm like, I was like, whoa, definitely twisting of the word, definitely heretical. Yeah.
And the reason why we're bringing this up is some people say, well, we're not Texas, we're Florida. And you're right. There's a geographical distinction. However, the progressive Christians have been rising in prominence in government.
Yes.
And not just the federal government, but state government. And we need to be concerned about this. As believers, you know,
we need to bring awareness is what we need to do.
The scripture, the word of God really makes it clear that we have to, in love, point out where the false teachers are. What is false teaching, right? What is the role of the church if not to serve the Lord, be led by the Holy Spirit, to go into the places where we are and to pay attention to what is true and what is not, and to lift up the difference. To point out that this is false teaching. And that's part of why we are on the air today talking about that.
And as we bring that up, though, there's over 2,000 religions. It's all false teaching.
Yeah.
Because we go back to John. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. There's only one way, there's only one truth, and there's everlasting life through Jesus Christ.
Only Jesus. There
only
is no
Jesus.
Other way. Let me bring up John 8, too, because this speaks and cuts to the heart. Jesus was telling his disciples, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Amen.
So a lot of people who identify as progressive Christians are identifying, and it's basically
as
identifying as false lies. But I mean, they're lies, they're not truth, and they're lost.
You know, well, and they're very misguided. You know, I have a neighbor. And you know, to put these back, you know, to put these, he's a Democrat. He's a neighbor of mine. He's a believer and he's a Democrat, but yet he won't talk to me about the Lord. He won't talk with me about the Lord. He won't talk with me and he won't have a conversation with me about the President of the United States. There's just no way he can have that conversation with me.
Hmm.
So, and
that's very sad because I think that we need to, if we believe in different faiths, we just need to have open conversation, respectful conversation.
How can he be a follower of the Lord if he won't have a conversation with me, number one, of the Lord? And
well, the Lord
two,
will get him another way. Keep praying for him, right? Because he may come through a dream, it may come through another person. But we as Christians need to be talking in love to people, but speaking the truth. And if we don't speak the truth, Keith, and we let, you know, what Telerico is saying and people will believe it. If we don't speak the truth to what's happening in our culture, then we're going to be speaking them to hell. Like, if he's speaking people to hell, if Joe Rogan said at the end of the podcast, you're a good person, you should run for president.
Right.
And how many millions of people are listening to Joe Rogan, who is also in deception.
But who think they're good people.
But good people don't go to heaven.
We know that.
Yes.
We know that.
Yes.
We know that because that's what the word says.
Yeah.
Right? Not of works.
Yes.
Right? By grace through faith, you are saved. Right? And that it is a gift of God. Right? And not of works.
Yes.
So
it is a gift of God. Nothing to do with anything within us, but only by the grace of God and his sacrifice for us.
Amen.
His son Jesus on the cross. So.
Yeah, I think. David
I believe we have Representative Nate Schatzlein on the line. Is that you, Representative?
I am on.
Oh, praise God. Thank you for making the time. I know that you have a quick 10 minutes in your schedule, and we're greatly appreciative of you joining us. So thank you so much. Just a reintroduction. Representative Nate Schatzlein, he's part of the Republican Party, a member of the Texas House of Representatives representing District 93. And he's been in office since January 10, 2023, and his term goes through 2027, and he's also a pastor and a born-again believer, and we're so glad to have you on the line. Welcome.
Oh, I'm so honored to be on, guys. I mean, look, I'm so grateful for, you know, any media that's taken a stand for faith, family, and freedom. And so, you know, Texas is home to me, but I was born in Florida. And, you know, Florida is always going to be second home to me. So honored to be on with y'all.
Yes. So we're going to just get right to the question so that our listeners can just listen to you most of the time and not to us. But are you seeing a lot of this progressive Christianity and some of these beliefs that are skewed? And I'm saying that in a nice way. Do you see a lot of that on the House floor and in Austin, in Texas, at the Capitol, Representative?
Absolutely. You know, it's so interesting is we talk a lot here in Texas about moving the Overton window. And by that, I mean, we've got to shift things so far to the right that those on the far left progressive side of the Democrat caucus of all of our state legislatures, and that includes Florida, as well as our federal level and Congress, we are seeing the Democrat Party shift so far to the left. I mean, to the point where you can't define what a man or woman is, to the point where you've got Democrats who refuse to even acknowledge that we shouldn't be cutting off the healthy body parts of children, or that post-birth abortion, which is just child murder. You know, they can't acknowledge those things. In fact, they refuse to even address them. They're just like drones. And so the further left the Democrat caucus goes inside of Texas, the further right we must go and say, no, we want to restore common sense. We want to restore godly values back to our state in Texas as well as in Florida, because that's what our founding fathers originally intended. And it's our mandate from heaven as believers to do so. And so we're seeing it. We're seeing it on a continual basis.
So, Representative, we have now in your state, it's law for the Ten Commandments to be posted in every classroom at public schools. Is that correct?
That's right. You know, this last session was we had some huge victories. Not only did we pass the law that says that we need the Ten Commandments on every classroom wall, which is so funny that we even had opposition of that. My favorite question to ask Democrats inside of our caucus, of which every one of them, I believe, voted against this, if not close to every one of them, was which one of the Ten Commandments do you disagree with, or rather, which Ten Commandment do you think leads to a worse off society if society were to follow it? And so, but not only did we pass that law, but we actually passed the law that says, hey, you can't hinder a student from having organized prayer time at school. As long as it's within a time that's been allotted by the school, you can't hinder them from praying to God and having an encounter with the Lord. We value faith in Texas, and if we can't show that in our policy, then we don't really value it. And so, you know, we're trying to push back. Florida's doing the same thing in the same way when we're saying, hey, look, our kids are being, socially transitioned inside of our schools.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this session I fought to throw an amendment onto our Parental Bill of Rights bill to ensure that we cannot socially transition children. We're now finding out through the grapevine that kids are being sexually transitioned through clubs that are being masked as art club or reading club or whatever it is. All the while, it's gay LGBTQIA+ affirming clubs that have invaded our kids' classrooms. And so we cracked down on that this session as well, and we banned those as well. I believe Florida did as well. This is how we go on the offensive, and really it's just fighting for common sense legislation that protects the minds of our kids.
Yes, Representative, thank you for that. That sounds like a lot of great things are happening at the Capitol in Texas and also in Florida. I feel like we're both, you know, like we have like a relationship with Texas, Florida does. But if we could ask you, you work with your colleague, Representative Tallarico. How has that been working with somebody who identifies as a progressive Christian? Was there a debate from him and you regarding this legislation about the Ten Commandments? Can you speak more to that, Representative?
Yeah, it's interesting. So James and I, James came in, I think, a session or two before me. James and I think, are a year or two apart in age. We're both young, self-proclaimed believers that we are about as far apart on the ideological spectrum as you could get. I'm a pastor. James is in seminary right now to be a pastor. I believe James is 35. I could be off by a year or two. I'm 33. And we're fighting against each other. Oftentimes, I take it back to, you know, it was James that was at the back mic as I was passing my ban on social transitioning in public schools. And he was questioning every single point of the legitimacy of the amendment, almost challenging as if he doesn't believe it's happening. And in the same breath, he'll say we have to fight for trans rights while he's also saying kids aren't being trans inside of our public schools. And so me and James have gone to bat a few times against each other on the House floor. You know, what I will say about James is he's incredibly cordial when you meet him. But the scripture comes to mind, 2 Timothy 4:3. It says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. I believe the gospel that James is expressing is not just a false gospel, but it's a dangerous false gospel that is leading people to their own fleshly desires rather than causing us to do what the gospel says, which is to deny your flesh and seek after the Holy Spirit so he can make you new. And I think one of the issues here is that we are seeing this drift in the next generation. I believe that Gen Z and Gen Alpha could lead the greatest revival in the history of our country.
I believe that potential
is in them. I've got an 8-year-old, I've got a 10-year-old, and I've got a nearly 3-year-old, and I believe they're going to be revivalists in our land. That said, there's a shift in politics towards populism. Now, populism isn't always bad. We see President Trump, greatest president of my lifetime, took over the White House and took back our country as a result of that populism. However, if the church doesn't rise up and lead in this season of populism, we will see a secular populism take over the next generation, which I believe is what took place on that podcast where James is not speaking. In fact, when he was challenged on the scriptures, Joe Rogan, of all people, who I don't believe is a self-proclaimed believer, he may have some semblance of faith. I'm not really sure. And we're believing that he's going to have a radical encounter with God. But that said, when he was challenged with, well, James, doesn't it say that homosexuality is an abomination? James diverted.
Yeah, and I remember.
He would not address the scripture. What he said about it was he said, well, we have to understand the context. Which in reality, the context was the same diseases that men were getting from sleeping with each other then, they're getting now. Those same health concerns come into play as it relates to homosexual practice. And we have to understand that the Lord's law is not abolished. It's simply accomplished through Christ Jesus.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And you know, the scriptures say we don't come to abolish the law, but to accomplish it. There's a grace in walking with Jesus where you're not damned to an eternal destination without the Lord when you mess up. However, there's a commandment where he says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments, meaning that it's impossible to be in fellowship with God and not continually look more like him. That's the art of sanctification. We're justified through faith, but we're sanctified through our walk with Christ. And what's so dangerous is the gospel that James is preaching is a gospel that simply says the Lord accepts you how you are, and somehow he doesn't love you enough to take you away from where he found you. Mm-hmm. And we know that a loving father might find you in a mess, but refuses to leave you messy, refuses to leave you in your pain.
Yes.
I tell the next generation, I was a youth pastor for years, I tell the next generation on a continual basis, God is not anti-fun, God is anti-pain. And the gospel that James is expressing is one that leads to unimaginable suffering that does not end with the glory of God. And so as I hear the lies and the arguments that James makes on, you know, the Joe Rogan podcast, I'm shouting through my phone, no, this is not biblically accurate. When he says, you know, the Judaic faith believes that children are not actually alive until they take their first breath. Well, science has already debunked that.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there's life. We know that they can feel pain at a certain number of weeks. We know that children are very much alive, functioning, brain activity, you name it. And so when he uses the gospel to defend abortion, that's truly an abomination unto the Lord, that if we cannot take care of even the least of these, in fact, the gospel is very clear. Jesus speaks directly to this in the New Testament, not the Old Testament law, but he says, if you harm even one of these little ones, it would be better for a millstone to be tied around your neck and for you to be thrown into the depths. James is dangerously approaching that in the name of the gospel. And that's why I go back to that 2 Timothy 4:3 scripture, which just simply says the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Well, we are in that time.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing is the darkest times are when the light shines the brightest. We need righteous men and women of God to stand up and say, unborn life is still life. The same laws that led the people in Israel are the laws that we're called to walk with in the grace of God so that he can sanctify us. And I believe righteous men and women of God are being called to step out of their comfort zone,
yes,
into the public square and begin to lead in the governmental realm. So I'm excited. I'm not discouraged. But I do believe we have to combat this messaging from people like James Tallarico.
Well,
we want to say thank you for what you're doing at the Texas House. And then he's a pastor, and he also works with an organization. He's at Mercy Culture Church. He's a pastor of Mercy Culture Church. And they have an organization called For Liberty and Justice. And it's mobilizing the church, waking up the city, and taking a stand. And the church I'm at, Revive, is going to be the first chapter in Florida to have an FLJ.
Hallelujah.
And we praise God for that.
Yeah.
But thank you, Representative Shatzlin. I know that you have to go, but we're grateful. We're going to be praying for you. Thank you for your boldness, and thank you for just being a great example there. We're so grateful for you, and we'll continue to pray for you.
I love y'all. Thank you for all you're doing in Florida. Look, we've got to keep Texas and Florida at the forefront of this fight. We are leading in this country, and I can't wait. Can't wait to be on with you guys again.
God Amen. Bless you.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you.
Wow. Now that was, and I want to thank you, Ann, for connecting him. You know him personally.
It was from the Holy Spirit.
From the Holy Spirit.
I just kept getting
yeah.
like contact and see if he'll be available. I'm like, God, but what's the chances? And I texted his aide, and his aide was sitting in the room with him, and he's Nate wants to go on. And I'm like, praise God, praise God.
Well, I didn't know how well you knew him, but God used you to make the connection.
Thank you, and Lord. Hallelujah.
Now, team, I'm going to ask you this. We're on the air, but I'm diplomatic. We only have one break scheduled for this broadcast, for this hour. I'm thinking maybe we take it now and then come back, and then we'll have the rest of our time to process all this. And anyone who's listening, again, you know, we were off the air. We may still be off the air from the tower, but we're on the internet, even though the tower is not transmitting.
Can we take questions, though, even though we're on the internet, or no? Probably no.
Well, I think we're going to, if people who are listening want to call, they can do that. They're not listening. They don't know they're invited to call. So it's just the way it goes.
I'm texting people.
Yeah, but 772-221-1100 is the number to call the station, and they'll patch you into the studio. 772-221-1100. We're going to go ahead and take our break. There's some music in there, so it's about a four-minute break. So enjoy it and do what you need to do, and we'll talk to you in a little bit.
Mercy and kindness are great towards us, and the truth of the Lord is forever. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye peoples. For his mercy and kindness are great towards us, and the truth of the Lord is forever. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, I will offer to you a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye peoples. For his mercy and kindness are great towards us, and the truth of the Lord is forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, His loving kindness is everlasting. I will call upon His name and lift the cup of Yeshua. Of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, I will offer to you a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise Him, all ye peoples, for His mercy and kindness are great towards us, and the truth of the Lord is forever. His mercy and kindness are great towards us, and the truth of the Lord is forever.
And welcome back to A Biblical Response. I hope you've been following us from the beginning, because it's like a very full package of revelation here today. For those that are just tuning in, though, we started out with a news article about a Texas state representative by the name of James Tallarico, who has become very public in his opposition of a bill that would put the Ten Commandments back in schools in Texas. That bill, by the way, passed and was signed by the governor, but he was on Joe Rogan's podcast, you know, promoting that the progressive Christian view of all that. He was very much against the reintroduction of the Ten Commandments into the public schools,
mm-hmm.
And it kind of exposed progressive Christianity in government, because he's not the only person who claims to be a Christian, but a progressive Christian. And so that opened us up. We had a great conversation, actually sharing with another Texas representative that Ann had connected with, Nate Schatzlin, who mm-hmm. is also a contemporary of the
Tallarico.
James Tallarico.
Or Tallarico, I'm saying it wrong.
Tallarico, yeah, sorry about that. And was, you know, kind of talking about working with him, but more so speaking from his own born-again faith position,
yeah,
and himself being a pastor as well, about his concerns about that attitude and what was being presented, and
mm-hmm.
and the whole progressive Christian thing that's being being much more obvious in government as well as in other public spheres.
I want to say really quickly, David, that when I was in Chicago, I did work for a Democrat, Keith. I don't know if you know this, a Democrat member of Congress. The Lord placed me there, and I met a bunch of believers who were progressive Christians. And that's when I was first exposed to this. I don't know, mm-hmm. maybe 15 years ago
mm-hmm.
or whatnot. It's a large number of people. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Jim Wallis and Sojourners, but that's I went to a conference in D.C. and I listened to some of the beliefs that they spew, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. So hearing Tallarico doesn't surprise me, because I knew a lot of people who are also in that camp. But we as Christians need to warn and speak truth to this.
And it's important that we mention, you know, this is a call. This is a warning.
Yeah.
They're out there. They're getting stronger. We're going to talk a little bit about progressive Christianity. But from you were sharing your experience, and
yeah.
I want my experience.
Yeah.
In 1982, I went to seminary in a mainline Christian seminary. And I was a sheltered person. You know, when I came to Christ in Florida, and I was surrounded by, this was during the charismatic renewal, and so people that led me to Christ were led to Christ as in that encounter with the Lord. And so I got saved in November 3rd, 1976. My wife as well, thank God. But and I pretty much hobnobbed with those folks. You know, I didn't really run. I didn't have any FaceTime with progressive Christians, but they were already out there. When I went to seminary, very interesting, the mainline seminary is full of them. And even back then, and I was appalled to see the seminary allowing people, for instance, one of the ways that you can note someone as a progressive Christian is they like to rewrite the Bible, because as the Bible is written, it challenges a lot of their positions.
Yep.
And so they will reinterpret Scripture. They believe the Bible is a living document that can be interpreted in light of modern knowledge and social issues, rather than as a literal or inerrant text. Now, we have always said, and I was raised, when I became a Christian, and you know, it was evident the Bible is the Word of God. It is inerrant. God doesn't change. His Word doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, because we are changeable creatures, sometimes we get into the idea that, well, I have a great idea. I've grown in Christ. I'm very wise. I'm looking at what the Bible says, let's say, about the homosexual issue.
Yeah.
Because I don't like what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
He's very direct, you know, that it's unnatural. That God did not intend men to have sex with men and women with women.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the many points that we see being being presented with great effort on the left.
Yeah.
That's just one of many.
Yeah, but it's, David, I don't mean to interrupt, but, you know, they're saying that it's about love. That's what the
right.
progressive Christian is claiming. It's
right.
about love and that God is love. But God is not love in the sin that is disguised as love.
Yes.
God's love does not extend to allow us to stay in the sin that we were in when we found him.
Right.
That's what Representative Chesslein was mentioning.
They are not seeing the act as a sin. They are seeing the act as love, and it's not love, it's sin.
Yeah.
It goes against the Word of God, which is what sin is.
And for the most part, progressive Christians, they're all big on love, but not big on truth.
Right.
What does Paul write in Ephesians 4? Speaking the truth in love.
And it's
that equation of discipleship.
And
love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. 1 Corinthians 13:6. So that is not a truthful lifestyle, and it's not, you know.
And the Word of God says it explicitly in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 28.
Yep.
It tells you this goes against the Word of God. And this is where they kind of they separate themselves from the truth into what they believe.
Right.
And there's a lot of beliefs out there. You can have your own belief, but there's only one truth.
Correct.
Yeah.
So,
absolute truth.
Right?
Absolute truth.
And you have to compare your beliefs to God's truth to know what's right.
Right.
Otherwise, you wander off into darkness, your own wisdom.
And that's what's
And you bring other people with you. And that's part of the
problem.
Pulling
away.
Did you know that there's only one of two Christians believe there is no absolute moral truth? One out of two Christians believe there is no absolute moral truth. And that's why we're on the air right now.
Right.
Everything goes back to the truth. But David, go ahead.
Well, we were at this part of the program, we were sort of taking apart progressive Christianity to understand how it's different.
Yeah.
What the... there's a big, if you think progressives and you think left-leaning ideology, they're pretty much promoting the same thing. There's an emphasis in progressive Christianity on social justice. Now, that sounds wonderful, doesn't it? That they advocate for social, economic, and racial justice. Often, they align with the progressive political movements. But if you look at what is God's justice, it's very different. Isn't it? It's very different.
You know, I'm just looking at this. David, you put some notes together, and by the way, they're just absolutely fabulous. And it says here, emphasis on social justice here. And look at what it says. It says progressive Christians are deeply involved in advocating social, economic, and racial justice. But one thing that we know, right, we have one blood, and that blood is from Jesus Christ. We are covered by the blood of Jesus. So it's not about racial. It's not what you're looking at on the outside. It's the heart that matters and the way that you walk in Jesus Christ.
And Paul writes and he says, and he's speaking specific cultures, but it really applies to all people. It says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free. We are all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's the unity that is important to the believer. It's important to the church and that which we need to promote. Otherwise, in the course of seeking justice, we have separation. We clearly, distinctly separate peoples.
Can I just add really quickly? So, you know, one of the main tenets of progressive Christianity, you're talking about social justice. And the 2 hours and 36 minutes that Joe Rogan was listening to James Tallarico, representative, he not once spoke about Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, nor the gospel. It was a lot about homosexuality. It was a lot about how the Bible justifies it. It was a lot about how abortion's justified in the Bible. Not once did he talk about the blood of Christ and the sacrifice he gave for us so that we could be saved. None of the gospel. This is what this progressive Christianity has turned into. It doesn't talk about Jesus' sacrifice, but it's more like a humanist club. That's help people. That's you know, feed the homeless, but then don't feed the homeless and we feed the homeless, but don't share the gospel with them. Mm-hmm. They're going to hell, you know?
Yes.
It just it angered me for 2 hours and 36 minutes. Not one mention.
One of his quotes, one of James Tallarico's quotes was, "Show me how you treat other people, and I'll tell you what you believe." I mean, that's not that is not. And then he asked, "Do you love Jesus?" I mean, do you love Judas? That's the question that he asked. What does he say? He says, "Do you love Judas?" So his expression of everything is based on love. And Jesus said to follow me. This guy is trying to be a leader in a progressive movement of made up Christianity. Mm-hmm. In a progressive movement of made up Christianity.
And you know what? My heart goes out to James. We are going to be praying at the end of this broadcast for anybody who's involved in progressive Christianity.
Amen.
Because we love them. We are not Christians who hate people we don't agree with. We love them. Do you think it's not easy for us to sit at this chair and say things that are it can be very hard to do? I could feel the warfare. I mean, look what happened with our antenna. We lost power with our antenna, right? There's warfare.
Spiritual warfare.
But we don't hate these people, and he's making us out to be that. So,
You know, 2 Thessalonians, and this is what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no one deceive you in any way, for the day shall not come, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Do not be deceived. And, you know, we talk about this. We've been talking about this in prior programs very, very much, because the devil is the great deceiver. Mm-hmm. He is the deceiver. And this is what is being shared right now down in Texas on that is the deception, because the left, he's drawing more. He's trying to bring them in and for him to be a leader of that movement. And what does Jesus say? Follow me. Jesus says, follow me, and he's trying to lead.
And I wanted to, we're going in the right direction, but I wanted to identify what I believe is the core.
I didn't mean to pull you away.
No, you're fine. Is the core problem.
Yeah.
Now, when I say the core problem, I believe it's the fundamental issue that leads to either embracing God's truth and living in it and accepting it, or desiring it, not liking God's truth and wanting to change it. And that is, we have been given, God is unchanging. The great word immutable, right?
Amen.
He doesn't change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that what he gives his people is perfect. I mean, from a perfect God.
Amen.
We don't understand perfect.
Yeah.
I used to think I did, but whoops, we got a call coming
all
in.
All right.
Caller, you're on the air.
This is Natalie. Hi, Ann. Hi, Keith.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. I just wanted to call in and comment on the topic. First, thank you so much for taking this challenge on. The thing that I wanted to share was just a challenge, because this is challenging me as a believer, a challenge to churches and pastors and to us as Christians to speak the truth. I think sometimes we can speak the truth in our own homes or in our own lives, or sometimes not even in our own homes. But the reality is people are hurting, people are confused, and even people in the church are. And I reflect back on my own life when I was younger. I had a lot of friends who were confused about certain topics, and the church wouldn't address the topics. The church wouldn't love people back. The church wouldn't speak the truth. Thank God I grew up in a home with a mother who spoke the truth as the Bible said it. And because of that, even in my own times of waywardness, I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt, this is what God says, and I can choose to tip over that line, but if I do, I am in sin. And so I just want to challenge, and I'm being challenged, that we would speak the truth regardless of how people perceive it. Yes, we do it in love, but we have to speak it. Covid have to speak it. We can't just say what sounds nice or be afraid to offend even our friends or family, because Jesus offended many. Even in the, quote, church at that time, the Pharisees, because he spoke the truth definitively without backing down. And that's what people need, even in the church. So that's all I wanted to share.
Well, thank you, Natalie. So God bless you, hon.
For what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling, Natalie. God bless you.
Okay. Bye.
Oh, and that's really
what
really
a call
cool.
to the churches and to the pastors.
Amen.
Right?
But it gets back to what I think we have to realize, that we cannot divert. We cannot move off of what God has given to us. It's clearly in the Bible. It's why it's the Word of God. It's why it's authoritative, because it comes from God. It is absolutely true. And we are cautioned several places in the Word of God not to divert from that. I was going to go to, there's Deuteronomy 4:2. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Proverbs 30, verse 5 through 6. Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. And then in Revelation 22, 18 through 19, which is what many people are familiar with. It says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Meaning, the word of God is true as it is given to us. We are not to modify it to satisfy anybody, including ourselves.
And that's what progressive Christians and James Tallarico do. He called the scripture where it's in Romans 1, where it talks about it's not, it's basically an abomination for a man to sleep with another man. But he said that's a euphemism. He basically dissed the word of God. Listeners, when you hear somebody discrediting the word, when you hear someone discrediting the word, then you know they're not in truth. Please use this as a warning, because we want to love you and just bring this to light.
We do, and it's important. I hope you're hearing in what we're saying, that you're receiving something from the Holy Spirit, because it is a challenge. We must attend to this.
Right. And, you know, David, when Natalie called, she said that, you know, to bring it in, the churches have to be responsible at the same time. And what came to mind is that I had a friend of mine down in Miami, and there's a church down there. It's called a Congregational Church of God. And that Congregational Church of God, although they believe in Jesus Christ, they have their own set of bylaws. And one of the bylaws of that church is that church members are trusted to interpret the Bible and apply it as they best understand it, and the church embraces differences of interpretation. That's not a good thing. So, okay, the elevation of the layperson in this way limits the authority of the clergy within the church. Meanwhile, 2 Peter says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. So, and then you can go back to 2 Timothy 13, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, which tells us that all scripture is God-breathed, given by the Spirit, and that it wasn't written by man's hand.
Yep.
So it's not only where you have James coming through, right? James Tallarico coming through as a progressive Christian.
Yeah.
You also have to be aware of the churches that you are attending.
Absolutely.
So that you are going through a biblical church that is following the Word of
God.
And
we have the Holy Spirit inside of us if you're born again. That will rise up. If something doesn't sound right, the Holy Spirit will cue you and be like, okay, question that. You know what I mean? Through all of James Tallarico speaking, Holy Spirit was giving me all the red flags. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Ask Holy Spirit. And we have to see what our churches believe. If you're reinterpreting scripture, that's right. One of the tenets of progressive Christianity.
And how can you have confusion if you say the Bible says this and I say the Bible says that? How can you have confusion and saying that that's the Word of God? Because
there's no authority in the Bible.
Right.
Yeah.
And God is not a God of confusion.
Yes.
And when there is what seems to be disagreement, when one or more people are trying to interpret the Word of God, and maybe they are seemingly at odds with each other, what is the thing we're supposed to do is we go to God in prayer.
Right.
Yes, and ask Him.
God's the author.
Right.
If we're struggling, it's not because God is confusing us, it's because we are confused.
Yes.
And we need God's guidance.
And what does it say here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1?
Yeah.
Chapter 1, verse 10, right? It says, Paul writes, I appeal to you. He's appealing, okay, to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. And that is with the mind of Christ.
It has to be.
And how do we get the mind of Christ?
You have to
by
be
being in the Word.
By being in the Word. And it's unified. You know, right. The Word unifies us as brothers and sisters and the body of the church.
And we take the Word for what it is. We do not reinterpret the Word.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So that it's according to what we want it to believe.
Right.
We don't do that.
There's also, I think, there's another basic thing. I like to get back to basics, and which is a good place to start. Then you build on that. But I think these are God basics. And there is one issue that I've noticed when you look at the proclamations of progressive Christianity is that they've taken the fear out of presenting the Word of God. In other words, you know, let's face it, nobody gets out of bed in the morning and says, I don't want people to like me, right? In fact, I would love for people to hate me. No, nobody says that because basically as human beings, we want to be liked.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. However, when we are ambassadors for Christ and we're presenting His word to the world, Jesus Himself told us that what He said, what He did was offensive to people.
Yes.
And not to take it personally, but to expect that His word that He would give the church is going to be offensive.
Yes.
In Matthew 15, 12 through 14, the disciples came to Jesus and they said, do you know the Pharisees were offended when they heard the saying that they're referring to? He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. In other words, if it's not from God, it's not going to live. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. Well, if they don't have the Word of God, they are blind. They don't have the light of Christ. And then Luke 7:23, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me.
Ooh, that's powerful, David.
It is, but many people will be offended by the Word, and especially today, if you're going to bring God's truth into the culture, and you're going to say to the certain issues that rise up when it comes to homosexuality, gender fluidity, all of the precious points of the left, all the ideologies that are not rooted in God's word, that they are promoting abortion is another one. When you bring scripture to bear, God's word to bear on those things, people get angry. In fact, if you'll notice that when you see on video, for instance, discussions between Christians and the left in terms of these issues, there is no debate. When I present God's truth, they immediately go to yelling and screaming and maybe throwing something.
Mm.
There is, because they can't debate. They don't have any truth. And they get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And they get angry. And this is the thing. They're offended. This is a sign of offense.
And I pray they go to God in that offense, David. I don't know.
Maybe some do, but some don't.
I feel like we have to, you know, we only have, what, 6 minutes left, David and Keith?
Just about.
I feel like at the end of this program, if you would allow it for us to pray for James Tallarico and anybody
who is in
deception.
Let's do that now. Let's do it now because, you know, we always, us believers, we tend to forget time when
Keith
we're praying.
Keith may be kicking me if I pray too long, but
just do it.
The Holy Spirit, we just want to pray for Representative James Tallarico, Lord, and for anyone, Lord God, who is following something other than the truth, but they think it is the truth, Father God. I pray that you reveal yourself to them, Holy Spirit. Lord God, will you pluck them out of deception, Lord? I pray that you encounter them in dreams, Jesus. I pray that when they read the Bible, it will come alive to them, that they cannot dispute what it says, Lord God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you administer to them, that they will be saved, because ultimately they think they are saved, but they are not. I pray that they will come to know your Son, Jesus Christ, and that, Holy Spirit, that you will encounter them in a way that they will never be the same again. But only you could do it, Lord Jesus. We pray for every person who is not saved. Every person, even if it's not progressive Christianity, Muslim, whatever it is, Hinduism, Lord, we pray that you encounter them with your love and they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. I pray for all pastors, all churches, that we would not be silent, that we would speak up, that we will proclaim the truth, whatever it is. The word says it may be offensive, but Lord Jesus, it is your word, and every word that is given to us by you is perfect and true.
Yes, Lord.
And we will believe it as it is, because yes, you Lord. Are the word, as John 1 says, Lord yes, Jesus. Lord. And we, Lord, we ask that you would just rise people up, Lord God, so that we will not cower, that we will get engaged in culture, we will engage in politics, wherever the Lord puts us, in business, wherever, universities. Mm. But I pray that we will rise up as a church and take a stand for truth, Lord, because you are truth. You are the absolute truth. We pray for those Christians that identify as Christians that are lost, that you will encounter them, Lord God. Our heart goes out to them. We want to love them to heaven. So, Lord God, just mightily, Holy Spirit, pour out your Spirit upon all people so that people can change, Lord God. You are the only one who could do it, Lord God. And use us righteously as we speak your truth, and we will not cower. Lord, thank you for WCNO and the ministry that it has been on the Treasure Coast in South Florida. Continue to use this ministry, and we pray for power to be restored in that antenna, and that every person, Lord, who you want to hear this radio show will listen, because the enemy's not going to have his way to try to prevent it from getting to people who cannot listen. But Lord, you will make sure it gets to the people who need to listen. In Jesus' name we pray. We Amen. Love you, Lord yes. God, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And
Amen.
As we're in a prayer mode, and before we go off, I'd also like to lift up Texas State Representative Pastor Nate Chatsling.
I'm so sorry.
Who joined us in the early part of the program. And no, I was just happened to, God touched my heart about this.
Yes.
And Lord, we just lift him up to you and his family. We thank you for his courage.
Yes.
It is Holy Spirit inspired courage, and he stands before wherever you send him, whether it be to the Texas House, whether it be to the press, whether it be to his own church, into any other groups where he brings your truth, Lord God, bless him, protect him and his family, and those like him. We
yes,
pray
God.
He stands, even as we pray just for
James.
We also pray for Nate, that he will be strengthened, and that you will raise him up, that you will take him to the places you want him to be. You will grant him, Father, the venues wherein he can continue to be courageous in proclaiming your word.
And continued
and
protection.
Yes, Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much. And for those like him, there are so many, some we don't know. Some are in government, some are not. But through every layer of American life and culture, you have believers. You have born-again believers who are willing and are becoming even more willing to forget the fact that they're going to offend people, because they're not going out to offend people. They're bringing your word and your truth so that those who might choose to be offended can at least have, Father, seeds planted in their minds and their hearts that you will nurture and nourish. So one day, Father, they can wake up instead of being woke, which is really a form of sleeping. They can be awakened and receive Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, and have a new life both here on earth and one that points to an eternity of joy and celebration with you, Lord God, in heaven.
And can we pray really quickly for Joe Rogan? Because I feel like the Spirit's saying, and Joe Rogan, Father God, who does not know your truth because he's advocating for somebody who's not really following the Lord. I pray that he would also be saved, that you encounter him so that he will come to know you as his Lord and Savior.
Turn their hearts to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, thanks for listening. And we will, this program, by the way, is going to be replayed later today because we were off the air from the broadcast, not from the internet. And so with all of that, we'll see you next week.
God bless everyone.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at wcno@wcno.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear,